We're continuing today with the chapter on two wives. That's the first time in these almost 9 years that I've done this chapter, and I think it's really helped me a lot. One of the ways I can use prayer and meditation for me, and the way meditation's described in the big book and the way they did it with the Oxford group, is to see the spiritual principles and to meditate on them, and then have God give me guidance on how I can use those spiritual principles in my life. And there are a lot of spiritual principles in this chapter. And it's really to wives, but it's really to alcoholics too, because it describes us and how we were and how people deal with us and how the family relates. We are on page 116, and I think there's certainly the principles of Al-Anon in here. I'm not an expert on that, but I have an Al-Anon meditation book that I use fairly regularly, and it's the same way of looking at things, but just with a different twist. The alcoholic and the non-alcoholic, but the spiritual life is available to all of us, and the principles apply to everyone. Remember when they wrote How It Works, chapter 12, they said, having had a spiritual experience as the result of the step, we try to carry this message to others, comma, especially alcoholics. And I think this book is a powerful spiritual message on how God wants us to live a spiritual life and how we can stay close to Him, because He wants us to seek Him and be with Him all the time. We're the only ones who choose to separate and move away. And the big book tells us how that worked for us. It didn't work at all. And how it works if we connect to God and we stay with Him throughout our day and life. It says, we'll start with that paragraph and we'll see what we can get out of this, and then we'll open it up for some discussion. It says, we have elsewhere remarked how much better life is when lived on a spiritual plane. Anybody agree with that statement? And that's what we have to convince people when they come in, that their life is a mess, but there is a solution, but it's a spiritual solution. And that can be hard for new people to accept, and then I have to remember that today, that my solution, and Eric mentioned it, is God. To seek God constantly in my life. If God can solve the age-old riddle of alcoholism, He can solve your problems too. Anybody agree with that? Mm-hmm. Now why, if that's true, everybody think that's true, right? Then why do I try to solve my own problems each day? Because that's what we do. We make the choice on how we're gonna deal with something instead of going to God first. And then when it doesn't work out, that we have to change our minds and seek God first. And it says, and remember in We Agnostic, it says, lack of power, that's my dilemma. And we have to find a power by which we can live. And it had to be a power greater than ourself. And it says, how do we find the power? And it says, this book is all about that. How it works is, how does it work? How do I connect to the power that's available to me? And it says, its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself which will solve your problem. And it doesn't talk about alcohol, it solves my problem. And my problem is living a life on self-will and trying to manage my life. And all my problems will be solved if I have God directing my life and following His guidance. And it says, wise found that like everybody else, we were afflicted with pride, self-pity, vanity, and all the things which go to make up a self-centered person. So I think that's true of everyone. Why is this message so important to alcoholics? More so maybe than non-alcoholics. Because if an alcoholic continues to live a self-centered life and be self-will run riot, we're going to drink and then we're going to die. Other people can be dying spiritually and living a self-centered life, but they can't see the effect directly like we can as alcoholics. But if their lives are unmanageable and they can see that and they were the ones that made their lives unmanageable, then they'll seek the solution just as we did. And that's why the hyphen in the first step is really the key, to see that I cannot manage my life. My life was unmanageable by me, no one else. I have to take full credit for it, and I can't fix it. I can never make my life manageable again. The one thing that we know when we come in here that we can't manage is to stop drinking and using on our own. And so that makes our life unmanageable, but then when we sober up, we're left with alcoholism and our life is even more unmanageable because we don't have a solution for it. And so this program is of value to everyone. To me, there's a review on Amazon of the Big Book, and it says that in 100 years, everybody will be reading this book as the source of spiritual principles to connect to God. And I think that, who knows, we'll see if it's true or not. I won't be around. And it says, we were not above selfishness or dishonesty. We all have the same character defects, all of us. They're all as the result of separating from God and playing God in our lives. As our husbands begin to apply spiritual principles in their lives, we begin to see the desirability of doing so. And remember, they talk about in the men's how you relate to the family. There's a powerful paragraph in there. And I know Brian likes it because he's quoted it quite a bit. It says, there's a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry won't fill the bill at all. It says we ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it, being very careful not to criticize them. These are the same spiritual principles that we're living in to wives. This is page 83 if you're interested in the Big Book. And it's in the directions on making amends. It says their defects may be glaring. They're always glaring when we're looking for them, right? That's another new word that I saw in the book. I can see other people's defects, and they're very glaring to me when I'm back in self. But if I'm practicing love and tolerance, their defects aren't as glaring to me. They just are who they are. So defects are glaring depending on my point of view. But the chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. So we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. I meditate that on that and how that looks to me each morning. And we're going to see he uses these same words throughout the book, and he's going to use it in this chapter. And it says the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. So we have to live it, and then we hope the people that we're having relationships will live it too. At first, some of us did not believe we needed this help. Alcoholics balk at the idea of God, usually, and they don't want to, they've always got some excuses, a lot of people, why they don't want to follow through on the steps. And it says that some of these balked, remember? We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but there is no easier, softer way, but I don't know that this is really hard. I think I made it hard. I think we make it harder than it is as we do these studies and we actually see the Big Book. It's complicated to read on your own, but the instructions are really pretty simple when you get down to the basics. I heard somebody say the Big Book says the same thing 1,000 times. It's just in different ways. We thought on the whole we were pretty good women, capable of being nicer if our husband stopped drinking. That's probably a delusion. But it was a silly idea that we were too good to need God. I really like that line because I think that's what kills alcoholics. We won't give up on ourselves. And that's a form of self-centeredness. Now we try to put spiritual principles to work in every department of our lives. When we do that, we find it solves our problems too. Remember we looked at the second step proposition on fear, the question is God everything or nothing? What is our choice to be? And like Sandy Beach says, that's the only choice I make all day. If I'm choosing me, then I'm going to manage that area of my life, and then I'm going to have fear in that area. And if I'm choosing God, then I give it to God, and then I just ask God to remove the fear and how I should be, my role should be, and then that gives me peace and removes the fear. The ensuing lack of fear, worry, and hurt feelings is a wonderful thing. So that would be a result of the steps, is we don't live in the same fear and anxiety, and hurt feelings is just resentments, right? We're threatened and then we get hurt. It's a wonderful thing. And it says, we urge you to try our program, for nothing will be so helpful to the husband as, look at this, the radically changed attitude toward him and God. And remember, see, the big book's very consistent. That's what I like about it. On page 25, it says that the great factor of our lives is that we have a new relationship with God, right? And we have a relationship with our Creator. And it's a central fact of our lives. And it will show the radically changed attitude towards someone else, which God will show you how to have. So we use God to change the way we see things. Remember when we did the inventory on resentments? We looked at our resentments and how do we get free of our anger? We look at it from a different angle, right? That these are people who were perhaps spiritually ill just like us. And we ask God to give us love, patience, and tolerance towards them. We ask God to save me from being angry towards them. God, how can I be helpful to them? And God, change my attitude to them. I think that's the one paragraph that's really changed my life. It's helped me be free of the power of resentment to harm me and others. And some days we get into resentment, we all do, and then I have to just say, what's the cause back itself, what's the character defects, say the prayer and move on. If you and your husband find a solution for the pressing problem of drink, you are, of course, going to be very happy. But all problems will not be solved at once. I think you hear that too at meetings. You know, the guy goes, I'm sober 30 days, and, you know, things aren't getting better at home. Well, of course not. There's a lot of, the road to reconstruction is a long one, and it's a spiritual path, just like the spiritual journey from recovery from alcoholism. Seed has started to sprout in the new soil. Remember, what is the root of my problem? Anybody know? Selfishness, self-centeredness is the root of our problems. So the root of my problems, the seed that I planted, my self-centeredness, it's in the self-centered soil. It's not good. So we're going to put our seed in a new soil, the God-centered soil, and we're going to look at the tree as a result of that. The tree is the result of my planting my self-will and self-will soil. The tree was very ugly. It was full of resentment, fear, and harm. And what's the new tree look like? It shows love, kindness, patience, tolerance. We're not in conflict with everybody or anyone anymore. So it depends which soil I'm planting in my tree in each day on how my day will go, and it can go from minute to minute. In spite of your newfound happiness, there will be ups and downs. Many of the old problems will still be with you. This is as it should be. The faith and sincerity of both you and your husband will be put to the test. These workouts, it's like it be regarded as part of your education, for thus you will be learning to live. We talked about it a lot. It says, remember, God disciplines us in this manner. Well, if we're self-centered, things won't go well, and there's going to be conflict, and we have to work 10 and 11 every day to try to get back to God to see it differently. And we learn to live each day, and we learn new things, and as we're sober longer, we see different things. And we see different ways of dealing with situations. And then we can remember that this way just didn't work. And I'm going to try this way because it worked. And we talked about that in 6 and 7, how we practice a different way of thinking and acting. And we don't want to react in the way we did when we were self-centered. Instead, you will capitalize them. And look, a better way of life will emerge when they are overcome. There are a lot of promises in here, and I think that's true. And people talk about that when we open it up. Some of the snags you'll encounter are irritation, hurt feelings, and resentments. Anybody ever have that with their loved ones after they recover? They may never go away. It depends on the other person's spiritual path, whether they're ever going to let go of their irritation and resentments. We have no control over that. It's only how we react to that. Your husband will sometimes be unreasonable. You want to criticize. Starting from a speck on the distant horizon, great thunderclouds of dispute may gather. So we can take a little thing and make it into a real big argument. These family dissensions are very dangerous, especially to your husband. Often you must carry the burden of avoiding them or keeping them under control. Never forget that resentment is a deadly hazard to an alcoholic. So this is another point where they talk about resentments are fatal. They're going to kill me. And how does a resentment kill me? It kills me spiritually, because when I'm in anger and I'm full of resentment towards anything, there's no God in my life. The resentment is my higher power. It's governing my life. I've learned it's a complete waste of time. It's usually not true. I've distorted things to make it me look good and them look bad. I'm back in self. I need to forgive, make amends, and move on. And if not, it says we will drink. And I think most alcoholics who relapse, it's because they have a resentment. And their resentment is based on fear, and their fear is based on self-reliance and what they think they need to be happy. We do not mean that you have to agree with your husband whenever there's an honest difference of opinion. Just be careful, I like this, not to disagree in a resentful, critical spirit. So I wrote it here, how do you do that? Well, I think he answers it on the next paragraph, but it's very hard. It could be driving in the car, you know, and I'm going too slow or too fast, I never know anymore. And I'm either in the right or wrong lane, I don't know anymore. I don't know where to park the car. It's amazing I was able to get to work by myself all those years. But how do you, it really is that, I hope she doesn't listen to the tape. She's great, it's usually me. It's how we react. We get these little tizzies just driving down on 29th Street. And how do you...
about that, Michael, not many people do.
Good. So how do you do that? Well, you know, you have to respect their opinion, and they are who they are, and you don't have to react to it. So you might change lanes. You slow down, you speed up. There's always options, but here it says, you and your husband will find that you can dispose of serious problems easier than you can the trivial ones. I mean, it's these little discussions that people have in relationships that can get really distorted. People get their feelings hurt, right? Alcoholics don't like to have their feelings hurt. So we respond, and we have to, if I'm seeing things self-centered, my feelings will get hurt. If I'm seeing things through love and tolerance, my feelings don't have to be hurt at all. It's just, it is what it is. And so it's a way to use the steps all the time. Next time you and he have a heated discussion, no matter what the subject, here's what they say. It should be the privilege of either to smile and say, this is getting serious. I'm sorry I got disturbed. Let's talk about it later. Now, what I used to say is, this is getting serious. I'm sorry you got disturbed. Well, yeah, that doesn't help. I'm sorry I got disturbed. Let's talk about it later. One of the big things that people like to do is get the last word in, you know, make sure they got their point across. Well, that never helps. If you and your husband are trying to live on a spiritual basis, he will also be doing everything in his power to avoid disagreement or contention. So everything really depends on where I'm centered each day. Am I centered with God, practicing love, patience, kindly tolerance, or am I back in self? And I can see that very easily now by how I'm reacting to things. And so the 10th step is, remember, we watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear. When these crop up, so if I'm in a conversation and I see I'm getting disturbed or bothered, they're cropping up, I ask God at once to remove them, change the way I see it, practice love and tolerance. So the 10th step is really how we live moment by moment to deal with these things. And it's hard if you're trying to do this and the other person isn't. It's very hard. And that's where it takes even more of your attempt to be considerate and understanding. And also, it's really good to be able to say, I'm wrong about something. I'm wrong. I was wrong. And what else can you do but say, I saw it wrong. I was wrong. I'll do better. That's all you can really do. And sometimes that'll help a lot. Your husband knows he owes you more than sobriety. He wants to make good, yet he must not expect too much. His ways of thinking and doing are the habits of years. Now, we talked about that on Wednesday. We've practiced our self-centered personality. It's become our personality. We don't want to practice that personality anymore. So when it comes up, we want to practice the opposite, the God-centered personality. And these ways of thinking don't go away overnight. And the more you do it, the quicker you're able to try to do it. And we don't always do it well all the time. Remember, we're seeking we're not going to be perfect, but we're seeking God's help in all situations. And here's the words again. Patience, tolerance, understanding, love are the watchwords. This is the theme of the book, to practice patience, love, tolerance, understanding, consideration are the watchwords of our life. How well you're living the spiritual life is how well you're doing this. That's why I have to use the steps. I have to use 10 and 11 all the time, but I've heard people stay sober and they say they don't read the book and they don't do the steps. I have no judgment on that. But for me, this book is essential for me to have a day of peace and serenity and of usefulness and service. Show them these things in yourself. I love this. This is a great line. Show them these things in yourself and they will reflect it back to you. Think about that. If I'm showing patience, tolerance, understanding, and love, it's going to be reflected back from the other person. But if I'm showing anger or resentment or fear or intolerance or judgment, that gets reflected back to me. So this is another way of saying that the way I am will determine how people react to me. And didn't we learn that when we did the fourth step on resentment? That the way we are, and we thought that they're just being mean to us, right? Here we are, we're just standing there, but they're reacting to us. And so I learned that in the fourth step. And so it starts with me and how I have to change. Showing these things in yourself, they were reflected back to you from him. Live and let live is the rule. It shows if you both show a willingness to remedy your own defects, there will be little need to criticize each other. And this is why I think I need a sponsor. I need somebody to talk to, so that when you're having a difficulty in any situation, you can call someone, tell them the deal, ask them to help me see it differently, and just get somebody else's viewpoint on it. And that really helps, because it's your willingness to let go, your willingness to see it differently. We women carry with us a picture of the ideal man, the sort of chap we like our husbands to be. It is the most natural thing in the world, once his liquor problem is solved, to feel that he will now measure up to that cherished vision. The chances are that he will not, for like yourself, he's just beginning his development. Be patient. The other problem with that is it's their ideal. And if they're still self-centered, it's their ideal of how you should be to them. And are they working from that viewpoint, or how they can change their ideal and change themselves? And we have some people who go to Al-Anon that can talk about that. Because if they're still seeing it, the ideal towards how they want things in their self-centered mind, then that may not be helpful to either one. And it's very hard to change that, because the other person's been the focus, and to change it to yourself is very hard. And that's what we do in resentments, right? We look at who we're angry at, and we change the focus to how we were seeing it and how we caused it. Another feeling we're very like to entertain is one of resentment. That love and loyalty could not cure our husbands of alcoholism. Well, we're powerless over alcohol, right? And they're powerless over our alcoholism. It says, we do not like the thought that the contents of a book or the work of another alcoholic is accomplished in a few weeks, that's for which we struggled for years. That's a powerful line. I don't know, there's some relationships where people are threatened if the alcoholic gets help and starts going to meetings and starts changing, because they've been the focus of what's wrong with them, and they're trying to do something about it, and then there'll be resentment about that as well. Very complicated. Relationships are very complicated. You know, they say don't get in a relationship for a year. You've all heard that. I didn't see that in the book. So does that mean like on day 360 you can't get in a relationship? Then on 365 it's going to be okay? I think what they're telling you is that relationships are very hard, and that to make sure your spiritual path is very strong and you're going down this so you can react in the positive way in a relationship. But what is the relationship that we have to have from day one? It says you can't get in a relationship in a year. Well, it's our relationship with God. And our relationship with God has to start right away. And we can't wait for that. That's why if we're sober, not drinking, just going to meetings, do we have a relationship with God which will give me a power to live? It says, at such moments we forget that alcoholism is an illness over which we could not possibly have any power. Your husband will say, that it was your devotion and care which brought him to the point where he could have a spiritual experience. We hope that's the case. Without you, we have gone to pieces long ago. When resentful thoughts come, this is a real good one, try to pause and count your blessings. And I wrote, attitude of gratitude. Be thankful. Be considerate. Be tolerant. We can always find fault. Alcoholics are very good at judgment. We can always be intolerant, but we don't want to do that anymore, because what we're seeing usually isn't even true. It just depends on our self-centered basis. And count our blessings. Be grateful for what you have. After all, your family's reunited. Alcohol is no longer a problem, and your husband are working together toward an undreamed of future. The next chapter is where they talk about when alcoholics are working with other people and how they'll spend a lot of time in the program and working with others. And midway down the paragraph, it says, the fact is, and this is page 119, second paragraph, is that he should work with other people to maintain his own sobriety. This was the fundamental principle of you working with someone constantly. Dr. Bob talked about that. I listened to a talk, and he talked about the key thing for him from day one was that they went and started working with other people. And the more he worked with other people, the better he was able to work his relationship with God. And sometimes he'll be so interested he becomes neglectful. Your house will be filled up with strangers. And then further down the line, we find it's a real mistake to dampen his enthusiasm for alcoholic work. But you still have to remember, and this is where sponsorship can help, that you have to have boundaries, and you have to work on your relationship at home as well. Down to the next paragraph, it's probably true that you and husband have been living too much alone, for drinking many times isolates the wife and alcoholic. Therefore, you probably need fresh interests and a great cause to live for as much as your husband. It says, both of you will awaken to a new sense of responsibility for others. You, as well as your husband, ought to listen to this, to think of what you can put into life instead of how much you can take out. Isn't that a great thought? Anybody know where that's in the book? It's on the inventory at night on page 86. And it says, when we retire at night, we constructively review our day. And one of the, there are several questions you're supposed to ask yourself each night. It says, were you kind and loving towards all? Huh. What could we have done better? Was I thinking about myself most of the time? Or was I thinking of what I could do for others, of what I could pack into the stream of life? So my day will reflect whether I was loving, what I brought to the day, what my focus was, what I was trying to do. And if I'm doing that, then I will have a good day. And so the same line is here. Think of what you can put to life instead of what you must take out. Inevitably, your lives will be fuller. You will lose the old life to find one much better. And if you don't find a new life, then it's not working for you. And a lot of people will say Alcoholic Anonymous didn't work. They came here, it didn't work. And they'll say the program didn't work, but they oftentimes didn't do the steps. But if you don't change, your life's gonna be the same. Ed's not here, but he says if you don't change, your sobriety date will, and that's what they're talking about. It says, the next paragraph, it talks, about your husband will make a fair start in a new basis. They'll talk about if he drinks again. If you're satisfied that he wants to get over, do not be alarmed. Although it's better not to relapse at all, it's not a bad thing in some cases. Some cases it'll be that relapse that'll drive people to willingness to go to any length to do it forever the rest of their life. It helps them really do the first step completely. It says, your husband will see at once that he must redouble his spiritual activities if he expects to survive. Look at the words here, to survive. I think that's true of all of us. Sometimes we get away where from that we still have a fatal illness and we have a spiritual malady and we have to treat it all the time. You need not remind him of his spiritual deficiency. He will know of it. Here's a great one. The slightest sign of fear and tolerance may lessen your husband's chance of recovery. I think that's true. We have to remember that when people go out and relapse or wherever they're going, if they drink again, we don't see them for a while. We have to make sure we're not intolerant and we're not spiritually arrogant, because they're just us. And it could be me tonight, who knows? And so we want to welcome everybody back with love and tolerance and open arms, and always keep the door open. Always keep it open, because you don't know when they're going to be ready and that they'll seek you. Never close that door. We never try to arrange a man's life so as to shield him from temptation. We talked about that, like in working with others, you can go to the Greenland ice cap and you'll still find a way to drink. It says on the bottom of that page of 120, it says, God, everybody see that? God has either removed your husband's liquor problem or he has not. If not, it had better be found out right away, and then you and your husband can get right down the fundamentals. So remember, God has removed the problem, not me. And I have to get down to the fundamentals of working the steps to prepare to receive God's power. Remember, God delivers the mail every day. And the mail is the power to live. And unless I put a mailbox up, he's not going to be able to deliver the power. So I have to prepare the mailbox each day to receive God's power. That's up to me. And then I have to open the door to let him in. If I don't do that, he's just going to go on by to the next house. So it's our responsibility to prepare to receive the mail. God will deliver it if we do that. He doesn't take off for holidays either, by the way. If not, it better be then. If repetitions be prevented, place the problem along with everything else in God's hands. And then we'll just read this and open up. We realize that we've been giving you much direction and advice. We may have seemed to be lecture. I think the point is that they make, but what we have relayed is based upon experience. So we're really supposed to show our experience and not lecture or give absolutes. And it's hard to do that sometimes. You can see things you think are so clear and you want to say something, but you should really only share your experience. I have to remember that too. If you don't have experience in that area, just say you don't have that experience. That is why we're anxious that you understand you should avoid these necessary difficulties. So to you out there who may soon be with us, we say good luck and God bless you. I think it's really a good chat. And then, of course, have the whole thing about Al-Anon down here at the bottom. And so I really have gotten a lot out of that chapter. There are a lot of spiritual principles for both you and whoever you're having a relationship with. And it might be a good chapter to read with your spouse. Read it together and study it.